really come into the game. Pádraic Mannion here in the back, Dahi Bourke, Garrett McInerney. You know, they're really wrapping up any threat that the Waterford forwards have at the moment, so I hope it continues.
Colin Dunford is in for Jamie Barron, would you believe? What a first half he had. What a three quarters of the game we had. We played 64-40. Galway lead the All-Ireland final by 4 points. 25 points for Galway. 2:15 for Waterford. As Stephen O'Keefe gets ready, the Waterford empty the bench again. Here comes Patrick Curran, the man that won an under-21 All-Ireland medal. And he's into the game. And the man that he's replacing looks like it's Kieran Bennett that's into the contest. Are out of the contest as Patrick Curran is in. Waterford goal short with the puck out, but Fergal Horgan says, I didn't blow the whistle, so you have to go back. 65 minutes played on the clock. Galway 25 points. Waterford 2:15. Niall Canavan puts his two hands to his head. As Stephen O'Keefe gets ready with the puck out, goes the far side of the field, up goes Harty the ball, beats all comers, including Patrick Curran, goes out over the line, the far side of the field, it's a Waterford line ball. Austin Bennett looks like he's going to be interested in going out there to take this line ball. 65-31 gone in the clock. Galway 25 points. Waterford 2:15. As this line ball is going to be taken by Austin Gleeson. Austin Gleeson between the 65 and the 45 metre line here in Croke Park under the Cusick stand side the field. Strikes this. It's a high ball. It's heading in towards goal. It's gone to the right hand side and wide. And my instructions to Cullum Cannon as we hit the 66th minute would be slow down the puck out.
It would be at this stage, but I think that significant wides by Waterford there. That should be kept in play as well. Wide by Kevin Morton before that. He had one wide before that as well. And, you know, three or four wides that would keep Waterford in the game. But Galway, just keep push on now. Keep that 4 point lead if they can at all.
Puck out towards David Bourke. One by Waterford. Kevin Morton back inside his own 13 metre line. Has to go up the stand side of the field with this ball. Adrian Toohey goes up, brings it to the deck. Garrod Mack tries to get it, but the man that does win it is Brian O'Halloran. Brian O'Halloran is fouled. That's going to be a free. And Fergal Horgan, I thought he was going to give him an extra 10 yards there for that, was he? No, he's not. His Pádraic Mahoney to take the free on his own 65 metre line. A full house in Croke Park. Waterford trying to bridge a 58 year gap. They won the All-Ireland back in 1959. 54 years have passed and they've appeared in two finals in that period of time as Pádraic Mahoney stands over free. It's a length of a boot inside his own 65 metre line. It's practically in the middle of the field. It's on its way. It's high. It looks to be going to the right hand side. It's gone to the right hand side and wide. Liam Hodgins, 3 minutes of normal time left. Galway lead by four.
Yeah, Galway seem to be controlling the game. Waterford now are going to have to push up. So that will create a huge amount of space in the Galway forwards. Like you often see a team will get a run, you know, and hopefully it'll be Galway because Waterford now have pushed everyone up the field. They've gone 6-on-6 now in the forwards.
Derek McGrath tries to issue the instructions. Colin Cannon goes long with the puck out. Down on top of Niall Bourke, brings it to the ground with a stick. The ball is broken away though. Galway have to try to get onto that break ball. In goes Conor Whelan to try and win it. Ball is picked up though by Austin Gleeson. Austin Gleeson goes past his own 65 metre line. And there's a free. Is there a slap by Conor Cooney? There is a slap by Conor Cooney. That's going to be another free for Waterford. And a chance again from the middle. Conor Cooney is going to pick up a yellow card. And as Liam Hodgins said a few minutes ago about Aidan Hart taking the yellow card, that's not a bad yellow card to take either. Yellow card for Conor Cooney, the national school teacher, as Pádraic Mahoney will stand over another free. 68 minutes played on the clock. Galway lead by 4 points. Pádraic Mahoney has another chance. This is pressure though. This is the pressure of an All-Ireland final. Young lads would dream about this in the back garden. Pádraic Mahoney strikes it. It's on its way. The umpire is happy that this one, it's gone over the bar. 9 points he's got, Pádraic Mahoney. 68-20 played on the clock. 25 points Galway. 2:16 Waterford. 3 point ball game.
3 point goal game. Galway, or if I said Galway needed a goal, I think Waterford certainly need a goal now. Doesn't look like they're going to get it though. Shane Maloney comes in.
Shane Maloney comes in for the Galway captain, David Bourke. The Galway captain being taken off by the Galway management team, and Shane Maloney, the man who's always good to get a score, is in. Galway have got 3 points, 4 points from their two subs. Two from Niall Bourke, two from Jason Finn, as Cullum Cannon goes long. 69 minutes played on the clock. Towards Niall Bourke. It's a super catch by Niall Bourke. And a catch by Niall Bourke. And a free one by Niall Bourke. What a catch from the Arnmore Mary man. A man that has done so much this year to get himself back onto this Galway team. He made his debut in 2012. He scored 2 points, 5 points, 2 points. No score in the semi-final. That's his sequence of scores in the last four games. He's got two in the final, but he's won a hugely important free. I'm looking at the clock. 69-25, it tells me. Waterford faces in the crowd look disappointed, but JC has to put over this free. It's inside the 45-metre line. It's about 12 metres inside the 45-metre line. In front of goal, it's about 7 or 8 metres to the left-hand side of the goal. Joe strikes. Joe puts it over the bar. 10 points for JC, the magician. There will be 4 minutes of additional time. 4 points in the ball game. Stephen O'Keefe sends it down the field. 26 points to 216. Up they go in a crowded area, won by Toohey. Adrian Toohey tries to get the hand pass off. It's lasted out to Patrick Curran. Off to Tommy O'Halloran. Tommy O'Halloran runs into two would-be challenges. He's fouling the referee, and that's going to be a free in, a softish free again. 4 minutes of additional time are going to be played. It's a 4-point ball game. This is a free in to Waterford, and I would imagine that he will pop it over the bar, will he?
Yeah, he needs two scores. Do you know what I mean? So he's not going to go for goal for here. He'll just take the point. So still, you know, Waterford are funny. Like, they're crowd in the middle, their middle six, you know, number six here. Everyone seems to be going for contests on the ball, but Galway just needs to keep in control of this game.
Pádraic Mahoney to stand over it. I'd say every candle is lighting in Galway. Pádraic Mahoney should be able to put that over the bar. He does. No venas are being said. Candles are being lit. The races are over. 70 minutes, 50 seconds gone. The clock, 3-point ball game. 26 points Galway. 2:17 for Waterford. Colm Cannon to take the puck out. 1 minute of the four has now elapsed. Colm Cannon goes to the wing forward position towards Niall Burke. Again, he goes up, breaks the ball. Joe Cannon gets a touch on it. Niall Burke goes down on it. The break ball again on the ground. Galway needs to get in there in numbers. Johnny Cohen is in there inside the Waterford 45-metre line. Ty DeBurke is trying to pick it up there. Johnny Cohen is trying to pick it up. He goes in with a swing. That's a swing that's deemed to be an illegal pull. 71-20 played on the clock.
Yeah.
No one said this would be easy.
No. I just... All they had to do was just stay standing on that ball or keep it there. He was going to throw it in. Any little flick at all. Gleeson goes back to take this. He's going for a big one, I'd say.
Austin Gleeson on his own 45-metre line. Strikes it. It's on its way. It looks like it's going to sail wide. It does. Morris tries to catch it. He can't keep it alive. That's poor usage, Liam.
Yeah, like, it made no sense putting Austin Gleeson back, you know, 40 yards out from his own goal to go for a pot shot there. You know, they need to keep that ball a bit earlier on. You know, the same situation happened about 4 or 5 minutes ago on a line ball. You know, you need cool heads in an All-Ireland final.
72 played in the clock. We've 2 minutes left in the All-Ireland final. 26 points for Galway. 2:17 for Waterford, which is a 3-point ball game. Puck out towards Joe Canning, goes up with five breaks into the path of Conor Cooney. Conor Cooney off the left, but he's not going to get it. But it could be as good as a score. Stephen O'Keefe gets ready to take a fast puck out again. Again, he goes long with the puck out. 26 points to 23. Long ball down. Toohey goes up, breaks it into the path of Garrodge Mack. Garrodge Mack comes out with the ball glued to his hand. Out comes the son of Jerry Mack in Oranmore. Gets the hand pass off then to Aidan Hart. Aidan Hart gets onto the ball. Goes for a shot over the shoulder effort. Long high ball into no one in particular, but it's picked out of the air there by Darren Fife. 72-40 played on the clock. 1 minute and 20 seconds left to win in All-Ireland. Waterford need a goal to equalise the ball game, and here they come with Colin Dunford running up the field. Conor Whelan goes after him, pulls him back, play on to the referee, up towards Shane Fives, bearing down on goal. Shane Fives gets the ball over to Tommy Ryan, goal were set up. Tommy Ryan, a shot, breaks down into the goal. Ball comes out with Dyburn, hand pass off to John Hanbury, who has to win it. John Hanbury doesn't win it. The ball is alive. Tommy Ryan is there again. Hanbury wins it in the second attempt. The man that does win it is Pádraic Mahoney. Surely he's fouled coming out. Pádraic Mahoney, hand pass off to Jason Flynn, drives it up the field, long ball up the field. 73-15, everyone. Niall Burke is running with Ty DeBurke. Niall Burke and Ty DeBurke end up on the ground, free out. 73-22 played on the clock. Conor Cooney comes in, but I think he's given a free out. 73-30 played on the clock. We've 30 seconds away from an All-Ireland final. Mother of God, did anyone say it would be easy? Galway lead by 3 points. The 73-39 played on the clock. Right now, Stephen O'Keefe has a free for Waterford. They need a goal back in his own 13-metre line. He drives it up the field. It's a long ball up the field. Adrian Toohey goes out there with Gleeson. Ball goes out over the line ball. Who's it the line ball for? We await the decision of the linesman. He's waiting to see. It's a Galway line ball. Fair play to you, Bon O'Dwyer. A line ball for Galway. We have played the 4 minutes. 74-03. Be all done. It was up in the big screen. He'll be up in a lot more big screens with the help of God. Joe Canning comes back to take the line ball. It's on the verge. It's on the verge for Galway. Joe Canning with the line ball. Back outside his own 45-meter line. It's all over. Galway have won. beat them. Mick Kelly back in 1923. Joe Connolly in 1980. Connor Hayes, the man to my left, in 87 and 88 were the captains. But David Burke is only captain Galway to the fifth All-Ireland crown. 29 years of agony. 29 years of frustration. From Clifton to Ballinasloe. From Ceylon to Kilbegan to you're going to see Liam McCarthy. We think of Tony Keeney. We think of Joe McDonagh. We think of Niall Donoghue. We think of Michael Corcoran. We think of every great hurling person that has left us in the massive, massive time of 29 years. Galway have won the All-Ireland Senior Championship title. They won the National Hurling League. They won the Leinster Final in their fourth final of the year. Niall Donoghue and David Burke has worked the oracle. The Galway minor team go out on the field to greet their heroes. Connor Hayes, I don't mind in admitting it, there's a fair few tears in the eyes. This is absolutely magic.
Brilliant, Sean. I just so nerve-wracking there at the end. I was just so afraid of what we're going to come back and get a goal and draw the game. Galway were the better team on the day, and they were always going to be the better team on the day. They just needed to play and win, and they did that. Went a bit astray at the start of the second half, but finished a better team. The subs that come on made a huge, huge difference. Niall Burke getting 2 points from play, but significantly winning a puck out or winning a crucial free. Jason Flynn coming on, popping over 2 frees as well. And right throughout the field, Galway, to be fair to them, made a little bit of hard work of it at times, but kept Waterford at bay, but just kept ahead of them. Waterford got ahead of them just once, I think. And then after that, I think that every one of the Galway players just settled down to play and play the way they can play. Work that ball up the field, play in their positions well, and absolutely incredible scenes out there for Galway. We've waited, 29 years since 1988 for it to happen. Certainly when we won it in 88, we thought there would be two or three more between now and then anyway, certainly, but it hasn't happened until now. Congratulations to everybody involved.
And you don't mind handing over the mantle?
I'm absolutely delighted that I will die a happy man now that I wasn't the last man to captain a Galway team to win an All-Ireland Senior title. We have a new one now, and that's David Burke. Well done, great stuff.
The margins, the tears in the eyes.
Yeah, sure, why wouldn't it be like, you know what?
It's far away I am today from scenes I roamed aboy. And long ago the hour I know I foresaw in the night. But time nor tide or waters wide could wean my heart. True, it fly you, my own dear Galway bear. Oh, grey and bleak, by shores and creek, the rugged rocks abound. But sweet and green, the grass between, as grows on night. It's all of heaven I ask of God upon my dying day. My soul forevermore above you go, amen.
Yes, indeed. Well, good evening, listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling. And if you've just tuned in, if you're from Galway, you'll have been very happy to hear the last 7 or 8 minutes of the broadcast of the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Final, which took place in Croke Park on Sunday last. And that commentary came from Galway Bay FM there. And the excitement and the celebrations have been fantastic over in Galway for the last 3 days, and they'll continue for many weeks and months. And Galway managing to hang in there at the end despite not scoring a goal. They beat Waterford by 3 points, and Galway minor team, they also won the minor. So a great day of celebrations. And Joe Coney's nephew Jack was the captain of the minor team, and the minor team joined the senior team out on the pitch. How different scenes there were till since 1980, when I was there after Galway won their first title since 1923. And that time we were able to get out on the field. I don't know how people weren't killed trying to climb over barriers and barbed wire. But, we certainly got out, but nowadays, like all big sporting events, the spectators aren't allowed out. And it was a great scene for all the players and indeed their families. And a special tribute paid to the great Tony Keady, who died of suddenly a month ago. And his wife Margaret and their 4 children were there. And as a gesture of support towards the family, the Galway hurling team are now having a game in Athenry tomorrow night, basically to fundraise, to raise money for the Tony Keady's family. So a fantastic weekend for Galway people in Ireland, indeed all over the world. And I hope if you were able to tune in and listen to it or watch it on GAA Go, you enjoyed the broadcast. I certainly did, and have been on a bit of a high over the last few days. I've broadcast All-Ireland Finals on the radio here for over 20 years, and Galway probably lost 6 or 7 finals during that period of time. I feel sorry for Waterford. They haven't won since 59, and even though people said, you know, they might come back and do it next year, it's always a tough task. And as Conor Hayes said there, the last time Galway won in 1988, he was captain, and he thought that they would have won at least 3 or 4 All-Irelands, you know, between then and now, but it didn't happen. So there's another team and other teams that will hope that they'll be there next year. Anyway, you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And I'll come back in a minute and run through all the headlines in the papers just on the other sporting front. The Republic of Ireland have played 2 World Cup qualifying matches since we were on air last week. They played Georgia in Tbilisi on Saturday, and that was a game that they needed to win, but they managed to come away with a draw. And then last night, or this morning, New Zealand time, they played Sweden, and they lost that game 1-0. So they've got 2 games left, 1 against Moldova, 1 against Wales. They need to win both games to go through as the second place qualifier, and they may or may not get into a playoff. Northern Ireland have already guaranteed a playoff because they have certainly more points than Ireland will have, so they'll be into the playoffs and a chance to qualify for the World Cup final in Russia next year. Right. The Saw Doctors, To Win Just One.
To win just once would be enough for those who've lost in life for love, for those who've lost their guile and nerve, their innocence and their joy.
Do it.
Yes, well, that's a song that Waterford people, fans, would have been singing leaving Croke Park on Sunday to win just once. And it's been a long time since they won. And hopefully they'll bounce back next year. Although, I see Galway, the odds are tightened on them winning the All-Ireland again next year. They've got a very good team. So it's now looking forward to the All-Ireland football final next weekend. And now that the Galway team have brought Lee McCarthy West, maybe it's time for our next-door neighbours, Mayo, to bring Sam Maguire. And there's some really good stories going and banter on the internet now at the moment about Liam writing letters to Sam and Sam writing letters to Liam about wanting to move back to the West again. So we'll preview the All-Ireland football final on the programme next week. The government or cabinet are meeting today for the first time since they had their summer holidays. There's been some criticism of Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, who took the job in June. All he's been doing over the last few months is creating good photo opportunities and going to colourful gay and lesbian parades both in Ireland and in Northern Ireland and more recently in America and Canada. So if he wants to make a mark, he's got to start proving himself. He was there behind David Burke getting the cup from the president of Cumann, Lou Classgale, on Friday or on Sunday, and probably would be more a rugby man than a Gaelic football man or a hurling man, but certainly you get one of the best seats in the house being Taoiseach of Ireland in Croke Park and indeed at all the other big sporting fixtures. But it was great news for Galway supporters last week, it was sad news for the families of three homeless people that died. One died on the streets, one took his own, in fact two died on the streets, two in Dublin and one in Cork. There's, like there is here in New Zealand, there's a huge shortage of affordable houses, and government needs to move quickly. There's some political parties calling for tax breaks to be given to builders, but of course they got great tax breaks and they got everything and builders went mad during the boom times, and we saw where that got us. And so the houses, there is a lot of houses in Ireland, but the wrong parts of the country. They're needed in the urban centres, Dublin, Cork, Galway, Limerick, and there's just not enough houses to meet the demand. And the other issue that's been discussed at Cabinet this morning, it'll be announced by the Minister for the Environment that over the million people that paid their water charges, they'll be refunded by Christmas. And it looks like that's going to cost the government about $270 million to pay back all the people that agreed to pay the water charges. Of course, the government was formed on the basis that the water charges would be dropped. This was part of the negotiations by Fianna Fáil to support the government. So fund the infrastructure going forward, it'll have to come out of the main budget, and obviously more taxes in other forms. All right, we'll come back and continue with some more. We'll continue with music now and come back in a few minutes with what have we got here? We've got Philomena Begley, I think.
She arrives in all her splendor each night at 9 o'clock. Her chariot is a crosstown bus that stops right down the block. Now the old piano minstrel plays a tune as she walks in, and the queen of the silver dollars home again. She's the queen of the silver dollar. She rules a smoky kingdom. Her scepter is a wine lad, a bar stool is her throne. Now the jesters fly. Now the royal dress is satin, it's shabby and it's torn. The royal jewels are rhinestones, the shoes are scuffed and worn. Of the many roads she's been down, all the places she has been, well, they all look at her and say, God save the Queen. She's the Queen of the Silver Dollar. She rules a smoky kingdom. Her scepter is a wine glass, and a bar stool is her throne. Now the jesters flock around her, trying to win her favors, to see which one will take the queen of a silver dollar home. Now the queen of the silver dollar is not as haughty as she seems. She was once an ordinary girl with ordinary dreams. But there's a man who found her and brought her to this world. Yes, he's the one who made a queen of a simple country girl. Yes, I'm the queen of the silver dollar. I rule a smoky kingdom. My scepter is a wine glass and a bar stool is my throne. Kingdom, my scepter is a wine glass, and stool is my throne. Now the jesters
Yes, the Queen of Kent country music in Ireland there, Philomena Begley, and she's singing all about Queen of the Silver Dollar. And speaking of Irish country musicians, Daniel O'Donnell and a number of stars, both male and female, joined in a special concert which took place, I'm pretty sure it was in Buncrana at the weekend, and it raised about £30,000 for the people that were affected by the terrible floods that swept through the Inishowen Peninsula a few weeks ago. If you've tuned in, welcome along. You're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here out of the Planet FM studio in Auckland on a Wednesday night. Our delayed broadcast going out, Access Radio, Capity Coast Radio on Saturday night, as well as Plains FM in Christchurch. Wherever you're listening, I hope you're enjoying the programme, which is brought to you here each week with the Hugh Green Group. Well, there's a number of the political parties are holding get-togethers before the Dáil resumes in a few weeks' time, and it's the turn of Sinn Féin this week, and I see this calls for Gerry Adams to come clean about what he knows about the gruesome murder of a father of seven in County Louth in 1991, Tom Oliver. He's denied that Sinn Féin was involved or knows anything about it, but a leading investigative journalist, Ed Maloney, has a huge article in the Irish Independent today saying that Adams is wrong. Sinn Féin has lots of information on the Tom Oliver murder, and he says that Adams, not a sparrow falls from a tree, but he doesn't know about it. And Tom Oliver was alleged to have been an informer informing the police Gardaí in Dublin about some of the plans that the IRA had, and he was obviously brutalised before making a confession, which obviously the IRA publicised after he died to say that he was an informer. But reading the story here, it's just sickening, absolutely sickening to read what happened to this man and indeed other so-called informers during the time of the Troubles. And I heard a lovely interview with Seamus Mallon a few months ago on RTE, and you know, the interviewer asked him about, you know, the SDLP's involvement in politics, and he said most of the things that was gained politically came through the work of the SDLP and other peaceful politicians, not the threats of the bombs and the guns. And while Sinn Féin has got huge publicity now and they're very popular in both Northern and Southern Ireland, Seamus Mallon said at the time that, you know, he did not. He thinks that everything could have been got. It would have taken time, but it didn't need to cost £3,500 for a 30-year period. But I have to say now, reading the story here, and I heard a bit of it on the radio yesterday, is quite sickening to read about some of the things, the atrocities went on. But you look at today, everywhere in the on the television, there's wars everywhere, and they're not nice. Right, take another bit of music and come back to you. This is Dolores Keane.
There is
Yes, the great voice there of Dolores Cain, and her lovely song there. Paul Brady has a good version of that as well. It's called The Island. And I hope wherever you are, you're not stranded on any island if you're listening to this. And the days are getting a bit longer here and getting shorter in Ireland. Of course, daylight saving will finish here or start here in a few weeks' time, and there'll be a bit bigger stretch in the evenings. But schools are back. And all the students are back now to schools in Ireland and the universities. They started back this week, and their University College Dublin is back. Trinity starts next week. I think everybody that wanted to get a place in a university, they've got them. So the biggest issue was trying to find accommodation in all the main centres, which has proven a big issue for many, many families. So it's something that obviously they try to build more affordable houses, or, you know, they're trying to get people that are living in 3 or 4 bedroom houses on their own to maybe take in students and earn a bit of income and relieve the huge pressure that's on people. Last weekend they had the huge electric picnic concert, which took place over 3 days down in Stradbally, County Laois, and the weather was good for that, so lovely time was had by all down there. That's probably the last of the big festivals before the season, the kind of the summer ends. Of course, the big Plough Festival takes place, I think that's the last, first week in October. That's down in Offaly, just outside Tullamore again this year. That's like the Mystery Creek field days that we have here in New Zealand, so that's always a huge what do you call it, event. I see here the former president of the Olympic Association of Ireland, his trial date is set, but he's unlikely to go to Brazil. He can link up on a conference call, but he had to pay, or somebody paid a huge bond for him to be released from prison last year. I think it might have been paid by the International Olympic Committee, but it'll be interesting to see you know, what'll happen if he's found guilty. Finally, bad news here for 160 people in Cork with an engineering company with debts of almost 2 million. 160 workers is beyond saving, the High Court announced yesterday. Harley Mechanical Services, a company that provided various mechanical services for building contractors, and that's gone into receivership. So bad news there for those 160 workers that are losing their jobs.
I skimmed across porter with it, once emerging onto the banks of an urban morning. That hunger's the first light, much, much more than the mountains ever do. She, like a ghost beside me, goes down with the ease of a dolphin and emerges unlearned, unshamed, unharmed. For she is the perfect creature, natural in every feature, and I am the geek with the
song there, Mary Black, and a lovely song called Bright Blue Rose. And you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you here with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And just to recap the headlines of the news on the economic front, the cabinet meeting for the first time today since their summer holidays will discuss huge housing crisis in Ireland and in all the main centres as a result of three homeless people dying last week. And they also will discuss the repayment to over 1 million people that paid the water charges after they were introduced 2 years ago. Of course, they're disbanded now. And on the sports front, good news for Northern Ireland during the week. It looks like that they will have enough points to go into the playoffs to qualify for the World Cup next year. Ireland have two games left, one against Moldova at home, one away against Wales, and they'll need to win both games and to be aiming at a chance of finishing second. They're third at the moment after Wales went through after a win last night, so disappointment for Ireland, but just the team not good enough at the moment. And of course the rugby season started last weekend. Wins for Ulster, Leinster, Munster, and disappointment for Connacht under new coaching regime and a number of new players. Terrible conditions in Galway on Saturday evening. They lost to Glasgow. And there's talk is that Bundy Akey, who played for the Chiefs here and has been in Connacht for the last 3.5 years, it looks like that he will qualify under the residency rule to play for Ireland and could be playing for Ireland as soon as the November internationals this year. So no doubt it'll generate some controversy because by him getting a position, it means it's keeping an Irish person that probably wanted to be a centre in rugby out of the team. But we saw that happening already with CJ Stander from South Africa and a number of other New Zealand players that have gone and lived in Ireland and qualified under the residency rules. The rules are there at the moment. You have to live in a country for 3 years, but that'll change after 2020. On the other front, just scanning through the papers here, and you know, it just looks like that all the events that's happening globally are just taking up a lot of space in the newspapers, and everybody worried about what's going to happen with the to and fro between North Korea and America. All right, we'll have the Chicago set. Yes, the Chicago set there, and we'll have time for one or two more songs before the end of this edition of Ireland Calling, which you're listening to here in Auckland on a Wednesday night. Access Radio, Capity Coast Radio and Plains FM in Christchurch on Saturday night, and greetings to people listening around the globe on planetaudio.org.nz. And if you missed the start of the programme, the big sporting result of the weekend was the All-Ireland Hurling Final, which took place between Waterford and Galway. Galway winning by 3 points to claim their fifth All-Ireland title, first one since 1988. And the minor won their title, Galway Minors. Of course, the minor competition has been scrapped now. They've brought in a new age category. It's an under-20 competition, so they're scrapping the under-21 and the minor. So whether the Galway Minors will be able to keep the Irish Press Cup, which was presented to the winning captain after the final on Sunday. And Croke Park looked a spectacle. Weather was quite nice. There was patchy cloud, but lovely sunshine as well in the afternoon, and the colour brought by all the supporters from Galway and Waterford was fantastic. And of course, next week it'll be the turn of the footballers when Dublin take on Mayo. Mayo haven't won since 1951. Dublin aiming for their third All-Ireland title in a row and will be odds-on favourites to reclaim the title. Of course, last year Dublin and Mayo played a draw in the final, and Mayo lost by a point in the replay. So heartbreak for Mayo last year. Will this be the year to break that jinx that's been there? Of course, there's all types of fun that there was a curse put on the team after 1951 by a priest, that as long as there's any member of the squad still alive, Mayo will never win another All-Ireland. And there's still, I think, two members of that 1951 team alive. But everybody denies that the curse was put on, but it seems to come up this time of the year, every year. Righto, let's take another bit of music and then come back and wrap up for another weekend.
As I went down to Galway town to seek for recreation on the 17th of August, me mind being elevated, there was multitudes assembled with their tickets at the station. Me eyes began to dazzle as we're going to see the races. With me whack, fall the do, fall the dithery idle day. There was passengers from Limerick and men from Tipperary, the boys from Connemara and the Clare and married maidens. There were people from Cork City who were loyal, true and faithful. They brought home the Fenian prisoners from dying in foreign nations. With me whack, fall the do, fall the dithery idle day. It's there you'll see the pipers and the fiddlers competing, the nimble foot, the dancers and the trippin' over the daisies. There was others crying cigars and lights and bills of all the races, and the colours of the jockeys, and they mounted on their horses. With me whack, fall the do, fall the dithery idle day. There you'll see the jockeys, and they mounted out most stately, the blue, the pink, the orange and green, the emblems of our nations. When the bell was rung for starting, all the horses seemed impatient. It seemed they never stood on ground, the speed was so amazing. With me whack, fall the do, fall the dithery idle day. There was 500,000 people there of all denominations, the Catholics, the Protestants, the Jews, the Presbyterians. There was yet no animosity, no matter what persuasion, but fortune and hospitality induced some fresh acquaintance. With me whack, fall the do, fall the dithery idle day. And now me throat is dry, and I mean to end me song. Success has been the sport of kings since racing first begun. I've been to all the races and I've seen all the places, but I know that I'll return again to see the Galway races. With me whack, fall the do, fall the dithery idle day.
Yes, Yes, indeed. Paddy Riley there singing all about the Gowrie races. Well, I think there is races, not the big festival is at the end of July. There is a race meeting, I think, next week, a three-day meeting. And there's also the big Listowel Festival takes place after the football final. So the last of the big summer racing festivals take place over the next few weeks. I'm just looking at a headline here in the Irish Times today. It says, a traveller going to university shouldn't be news, but it's wrong that it is. And there's a story here about a young traveller, Kathleen Lawrence, who will graduate from the University of Maynooth today with a degree in civil law. And she remembers when she was in primary school, or might have been secondary school, she was given a book, Jane Eyre, to read by her teacher, and she was having difficulty reading it, and her teacher called her stupid. Anyway, that's it for another week. Hopefully you've enjoyed the programme, and I'll leave you tonight with Dermot O'Brien and O'Carolan's Concerto. For me, good night, goodbye, and God bless.